You're listening to U-Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things U-Talk football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hey everybody, welcome to Ute Talk. It is August 31st, and this is episode 3. My name is Andy. I hope you all are doing well, and thank you for joining us. I'm joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
Doing well. Feel like a kid on Christmas Eve.
Right? Yes. Game day is almost here. If this is your first time listening to us here at Ute Talk, welcome and thank you for your support. Ute Talk podcast is part of the TornbySports.com network and part of Blog Talk Radio Network. And it is produced every week for your enjoyment. So thank you for listening in. Please add Ute Talk to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. Now let's get to it. Game day. It's here tomorrow, September 1st, 6 p.m. We're excited for that. We're going to talk about our Ute news of the week. First is Corey Butler Bird being reinstated to the University of Utah football team. Patrick, what are your thoughts with that?
You know, I wrote an article on it at TornbySports.com earlier in the week. I think it's a great thing for him. Mm-hmm. He's partially reinstated, which means he can participate in practice and team activities. But I think it's good for him. Gets him around a good support group, a positive environment where, you know, people are going to look out for him and, you know, lift him up rather than leave him on his own to feel down on himself. So hopefully everything gets situated and mm-hmm. he can get fully reinstated to help this team out this season.
Definitely. Almost a similar situation with Hatfield last year. Hatfield had some legal issues last year and, had to sit out a couple games, came back, and, he's really changed a lot. He's named a captain. And so, as Ute fans, I think we all hope for the best and hope that, Butler Bird has a similar, turnout. You know, he's a great guy, has a lot of talent. I'm really excited to see him back, even if it is at a partially reinstatement. Like you said, gets him around some good people, some yep. coaches, the players, gets him back involved. It's such a family up there on the hill. It really is. And I think it'll be really good for him to get back involved with the right people. Other news for Utes up on the hill, Utah basketball. Got a commitment for, 2019. He's going to go on his mission first and then be back for 2019. He is a three-star guard by the name of Jackson Brenchley up in Cache Valley. Good kid. Looks like he's got, I haven't seen much film on him, but he averaged about 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists a game as a junior at Mountain Crest, and he also played on the AAU squad XM Elite. So up on the hill, Coach Kosoviak is definitely making some moves, bringing in a lot of new talent kind of from all over.
Yeah,
in-state, out-of-state, JC guys, overseas. Very exciting to see what he's doing up there. What are your thoughts on Jackson?
I think it's a good, great commitment. It's a local guy, and he's obviously a talented guy. He's a big kid, 6'5", combo guard, so can definitely use those. Mm-hmm. This season he'll play for that new school. I think it's Ridgeline High. Last season he was at Mountain Crest, but be interesting to see what kind of senior season he has, and mm-hmm. then it's exciting. We'll get to be able to see him back in 2019, so
yeah, it's a ways away.
Yeah.
So nothing to get too excited about now, but we're making the right moves for sure, looks like up on the hill, so that's that's very exciting. One thing I've noticed with Coach K is he's definitely been recruiting a lot more athleticism.
Yeah.
You know, over the last couple of years. And, you know, I think we're going to really start to see that come to fruition here. And we're going to be a really exciting team to watch, you know, more so than we are now.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Well, let's move along here. That's it for our news. And let's get to the meat portion of our meal here, if you will. Preview of SUU. What can you tell us on SUU, the Thunderbirds?
Well, the Thunderbirds coming up into Rice Eccles tomorrow. They're going to get feasted on, I think. first time playing between the two schools. Thunderbirds, you know, have their new coach this season, DeMario Warren. He was their, I believe, their defensive coordinator last season. Mm-hmm. Great coach. I mean, they put three defensive guys in the NFL last season, I believe. Mm-hmm. So obviously he's a good coach. They're picked 24th in the FCS poll. They're picked 7th in the Big Sky preseason poll, right behind Weber State.
Nice.
So, you know, they might... People are probably thinking of them maybe taking a dip this year, I guess, mm-hmm. looks like. But just some of the key returners, they have some, you know, decent sized guys on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the key returners on offense, they have a wide receiver named Mike Sharp. He's about 6'2", 200. He'll be a senior this year, local product out of Dixie High School.
Okay.
Last season, he led all the receivers with 889 yards and 13 TDs, so... not bad production.
Yeah, that's nothing to shy away from for sure.
Yeah, a lot better production than the Ute receivers.
Yeah, that's right.
then they have a tight end, Steve Robleski, 6'7", 265, so big boy, big that target.
Big boy for a tight end.
Yeah, and he's a senior this year. Last year he had 36 reception and 2 TDs, so
jeez.
Just definitely, you know, big guy for those. You know,
again, more production from... You know, receiving core that we didn't have.
Yeah. And then on defense, their best defensive player is going to be their outside linebacker, Mike Needham. He's a 6'4", 210 junior out of Desert Hills High School. He's first team All Big Sky, and last year was the 2015 linebacker of the year award winner. So, obviously a decent player there.
Yeah.
And then another guy on defense to look out for is Chance Pearson. It's about 6'6", 230. You know, I believe he plays defensive end. He's a junior out of Cedar City High School. Last season, he had 46 tackles, 3.5 sacks. I don't think he's going to get a lot in the Duke game, but definitely someone to look out for. And then on special teams, they return their punter, Tate Lewis. He's out of Fremont High School. 6'6", 230-pound senior. He's got a big leg. His sophomore year, he had an 80-yard punt. And then last season, he had that like 81-yard punt. So he's got a big leg. He's going to be, I believe he'll be getting his leg will be getting a lot of overtime tomorrow.
A lot of work.
Yeah. So those are just some of the key players that they return. Obviously their quarterback that should start is McCoy Hill, who was formerly at BYU. So
yeah. All right. Well, what, I mean, it's hard to gauge one of these, you know, these schools that we've never played for or never have played before. What, you know, is there a team that we've played in the past that we can maybe compare them to? You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a toss-up. You know, obviously the Utes should win, everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that shouldn't be... You know, anybody's worried, you know, our offense is going to be very vanilla, but is there a team in college football that we can compare the Thunderbirds to get a better idea of what we're going up against?
You know, I don't know. I know their coach said their offense is going to be fairly similar from last season. Mm-hmm. I didn't really watch any of their games personally,
yeah.
But and their defense, I'm sure, will remain the same with him staying on board there. And I believe they have the same offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like Justin Watershed, from last season. So their offense should stay the same. But this is one of those games. I mean, these guys, you know, they're going to come in wanting to prove something, you know, and show, you know, show the Utes that they can play too. So could be a trap game, but I don't expect the Utes to have any problems with them, but mm-hmm. you know, you never know with these trap games. Upsets yeah. always happen once in a while, but I don't expect it to happen tomorrow. But these guys will be up for that game, and they'll definitely come to play and, you know, prove that they can, you know,
definitely
play with the big boys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully we don't overlook them looking at the team down south week two. So
yeah,
here's just a recap of their schedule last year. So they played at Utah State first week. They lost 9-12. They played at South Dakota State. They lost 10-55. Week three, Northern Colorado. They won 30-3, so they put up some points there. Again, Northern Colorado, everybody. Week four, Brevard College. That was also a home game for them, and they put up 55-7. They won. Weber State. They beat Weber State week five. So Utah's old coach, Jay Hill, up there at Weber State, got a lashing 44-0.
Wow.
And that was at Weber State. So, I mean, that's kind of a shocker, to be honest. I would have expected Weber State to beat that game. Week seven, they beat Sacramento State at home 44-0. Week eight, they beat UC Davis 34-6 at UC Davis. excuse me, week nine, Cal Poly at home 54-37. Week 10, Montana State 34-23, another win that was at Montana State. And we played Montana State at home a few years ago, I believe back in 2010 or 11, it might have been, actually. And, you know, I believe at that time they were one of the bigger teams
yeah.
in the Big Sky. They lost at Portland State 23-24, so that was a close one. They beat Northern Arizona 49-41, and then they lost against Sam Houston State 39-42. So their first two losses of the season, at Utah State, they lost by 3. At South Dakota State, they lost by 45. Then they reeled off 7 wins in a row, and 3-4 of them were by, you know, 27 plus points.
Yeah.
That's nothing to, you know, shy away from. They lost by 1 against Portland State, and then they lost by 3 against Sam Houston State to close out the season. So, you know, they went 8-4 last year, with some pretty big wins. I mean, you know, again, the competition is obviously much different, but, you know, I mean, putting up 44 plus points, 55 points, I mean, you've got to have the talent.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you could just throw somebody back there and score a couple touchdowns,
yeah.
you know? So I don't think we're going to be in a bloodbath at all. We should have the talent, the athleticism, the speed, you know, the hashtag throw game, if we see it. You know, all of that should be there. We should handedly take care of the Thunderbirds. But, you know, it's, you know, they had a decent year last year. Hopefully with the new coach, they build on that. You know, and we'll see how it plays out tomorrow night at 6 p.m.
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere that their coach said they're going to be playing a lot of freshmen as well. So they have a lot of freshmen in there too deep. So
yeah,
that's another thing that the veterans on the Utes could really take advantage of too.
Definitely. Well, what are two things here, Patrick, that we're looking at on offense? What would you like to see from the Utah offense? And then on the flip side of that, what would you like to see from the defense?
Offensively, that's tough because I don't think you're going to see a lot. Like you said, I think you're going to see a real vanilla game plan. I don't think you're going to see, you know, the full package. But offensively, I'd just like to see, you know, of course, the pass game. I'd like to see how that's working. you know, see if the quarterback and the receivers are on the same page, mm-hmm. And see if they can kind of establish something in that area. I know that's what most everybody wants to see. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you'll see of it, but I definitely want to see some semblance of a passing game tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. You know, for me personally, offense, yes. Again, passing, the throw game, we've got to get that figured out. And I think Ute fans, all Ute fans, are itching for the throw game. You know, they want it. They need it. You know, last year, you know, we were, what, ranked 11th out of 12th in passing?
Yeah.
Averaged like 170 yards a game. I mean, if we're looking to win Pac-12 championships, let alone national championships, we've got to get over 250 yards a game passing. Easy. I mean, we just have to. You know, you're not going to win. Even with our, you know, great defense this year or any other year that we've had, we've got to have a consistent passing game that can find the open receivers, hit the open receivers, and score some points and move the chains, you know?
Yeah.
So for me personally, I really want to see, you know, keep everything vanilla, but I definitely want to see, you know, Troy Williams come out and command the offense. I want to see him, you know, direct the people where to go, direct his team where to go, and really be that leader that the offense has so desperately needed, you know. And I think in years past, we haven't had the vocal leader on offense. We've always had it on defense. But on offense, there's never been the guy to really, like, fire his team up, pump him up, get him to the right places, get him excited for the game. And I think that's something that Troy Williams is going to do this year. And I'm very excited for that. So I'd like to see, you know, I would like to see us no less than 3 touchdowns up, you know, by halftime.
Yeah.
You know, with a dominant passing game, you know, over the top, hitting some long balls, you know, something that we've desperately been needing. And then, you know, midway through the third quarter, you know, we throw in the twos and threes, you know, to get some playing time, get their feet wet. I think this is a great game for them to do that. So what about defensively? What are you looking for defensively for game one?
Defensively, I'm just excited to see kind of, you know, what Scally does differently. See
the identity.
Yeah, the identity of the defense. But what I want to see mostly, I want to see these young guys, I want to see them get quite a bit of playing time. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Utes defense is going to have much trouble with SU's offense. So I'd like to see the young guys get in there, get their feet wet, get the first game out of the way, make their mistakes, and then build upon that going into the BYU game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, defensively, the defensive side of the ball, I mean, for me, I want to see the linebackers. You know, I think that's been obviously the question mark that we've all been wondering about this year. I mean, we lost 3 great linebackers last year, Johnny yeah. Paul, Whittingham, and Norris. You know, I mean, it's very hard to replace that type of talent. I think that we have it in a few of our players. To replace those guys, and I think the coaches are, you know, just trying to get that talent out. So I'd really like to see the linebacking core and, you know, Cody Barton and why am I drawing a blank here?
Tatioli.
There you go. Thank you. Sorry. Yeah, and see how they mesh together with you know, the defensive line that we've got and. You know, the defensive backfield, you know, and just see how they make their adjustments, how they command the defense and, you know, go from there. I mean, defense is going to win us a lot of games. You know, offense really needs to pull it through, but, really excited defensively to see the, you know, like you said, the young guys,
yeah.
You know, Lecky, Anai, you know, those guys that are that next big group of players for the defense, to see them really come in and make an impression and really demand more playing time, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think with the linebackers, I think, you know, this is a game where you could plug in, you know, different sets of guys and just see what they got and see what kind of production they give you. You know, maybe plug in different, you know, different guys with the starters. I think this is a good game for Lua Fatasaga to get his feet wet and get in there and show what he can do as well.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, Donovan Thompson, the freshman.
Yeah.
So I think, like you said, I think linebacker is definitely something to watch on defense. And, you know, this will be a game where they can rotate guys and see what they're going to give them.
Definitely. So predictions for the game and the game ball. For me personally, I would say that the... I'm going to go with the ending score being 56 to 10. I want to see the defense hold it under 10 points. You know, under, I mean, total yardage. I'd be shocked if they get over 250. So I'd like to definitely see it held under 300 total yardage for our defense. And, you know, I think the game ball, I mean, depending on how we come out and ball out, I mean, that game ball could be going to Troy Williams. You know, if he, you know, comes out, makes a huge impact offensively, throwing the ball, checking it around, I really think that, you know, he'll get that game ball.
I think I'm going to go 37-3. I think that the Utes will be pretty, you know, basic, vanilla. I think they'll do a lot of grinding out the clock just to maybe get out healthy. They'll be playing a lot of young guys, a lot of rotations. But I'm going to go 37-3. I'm going to go with the other Troy for my game ball. I'm going to go with Troy McCormick.
I think he's
going to get a lot of playing time.
Sure.
Get a lot of carries, you know, maybe get some catches out of the backfield as well. So I'm going to go with him. I think he's going to have a good game.
That's an interesting choice. 20 points less and the backup running back. Okay. Yeah. We'll take it. That's all right. Well, let's move along here. Unless you have anything else you want to cover about SUU, I think we've kind of beat that. You know, game time again, Thursday, September 1st, tomorrow night, 6 p.m. It's on Pac-12 networks. Checker, the Eccles. We've got that tweeted out. I'll tweet it out again. So find out what clothing item color of your choice that, or I guess of the used choice that you should be wearing, red or white. So that should be a lot of fun. Hopefully everybody is able to get there on time. You know, 6 p.m. is kind of a killer on a Thursday, but I'll be there. I'll be there ready to go. I'm leaving work early at 4 o'clock, so I don't care what my boss says. So, well, let's move along into our Ute cues.
One thing before we move on.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Just a couple changes to the depth chart for SEU game we wanted to touch on. One of the big ones, Pita T is going to get the start over Fitz. I mean, the defensive line, you're going to see so much rotation. Any one of those guys could start. And
Do you think that's a matchup this week, or they're just interested to see what Pita can do because we know what Fitz can do, or did Pita beat him out?
I know Fitz was dealing with some nagging injuries during fall camp. I know Whittingham said it's nothing to be concerned about, so I think that might have something to do with it, but I think, you know, that the defensive line is so deep and they're going to be rotating fresh bodies so much. I don't think it really matters who starts.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get a chance to,
everyone's going to get equal playing time for sure.
Yeah. And then on special teams, two kick returners, they got the two freshmen that are going to be back there, Terrell Burgess and Julian Blackman. I know Whittingham said, you know, both of those guys were great during fall camp. Terrell Burgess was a good returner in high school, so it's going to be interesting to see if he can transition that to the college game. And then Julian Blackman, the local kid out of Layton, freshman as well. So it's going to be exciting to see what those two do back there as kick returners. Obviously, they did enough to impress during fall camp. And then the last news on the depth chart is just Jason Thompson is going to be the emergency third quarterback. I know he's been taking reps as that third quarterback. He'll still be the backup safety, but, you know, just in case anything happened to Williams or Huntley, knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. So, yeah, Ute Qs. Let's get into that.
Now time for Ute Qs, where we take your questions from Twitter and email and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
Utah Red Zone is the official store of Utah Athletics and your best provider for all University of Utah apparel, merchandise, gifts, and more. For the next 48 hours, our listeners of Utah can use the promo code TBSUTES, so TBS Utes, at uredzone.com, and this will get you 20% off your entire purchase. That's 20% off your entire Utah Red Zone purchase at uredzone.com when you use promo code TBSUTES in the next 48 hours. This offer is only valid online for the next 48 hours. Some restrictions apply. See your store for details. So our Ute Qs, we put them out there on Twitter. The first one, was the final score for SUU and who gets the game ball. So you and I already answered that question. Our listeners, we've got a couple of them here. You know, you've got 52-7 as one, 49-7 as another, with Troy Williams getting the game ball. So that Twitter listener, you know, agrees with me with the Troy Williams. The next one, you've got 44-10 with the game ball going to Joe Williams. Interesting choice. He could come out and, you know, really, really ball out. So, you know, I mean, that'll be exciting to see running backs. And then Rick Capps put out 56-7 total blowout. What do you think about that? Total blowout?
I think people...
I agree with the total blowout.
I mean, from the looks of it, it looks like people are expecting, you know, the offense or, you know, the team as a whole to score pretty big on this and hold SUU to fairly low points. So
definitely.
I think it'll be a blowout. So I, you know, it's definitely not going to be close.
Yeah. So... the other question that we'd put out on Twitter was the the season predictions. And this is one that you and I will go into here. But you've got 5% said 12-0. 19% went 11-1. The winner being 46% going 10-2. And 30% think 9-3. What do you think of those numbers? I mean,
I agree. I can see the Utes going either 9-3 or 10-2.
Yeah.
Those are definitely my top two choices. My only hang up is that USC game. USC has such a, you know, they play Alabama, then they play Utah State, then they play Stanford, and then they have a quick turnaround and play the Utes. So I can see USC coming in too. I believe they play at Rice-Eccles this season.
Yep.
I can see them coming in 1-2, and, you know, either they're going to be beat up from the Stanford game or they're going to come in wanting to, you know, get that second win against the Utes. So that's kind of the game I'm stuck on. The only losses I really see the Utes having this season are UCLA and Washington, kind of back-to-back losses there. I think that's kind of a tough stretch for them. I think Washington, I know a lot of people are saying they're on the uprise. So, but I do agree, either 9-3 or 10-2.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, let's bring it down here. You know, I mean, the optimistic side of me thinks we go 11-1. You know, with that loss, I'm kind of up for debate on that one. Like you, I think it is probably going to be the UCLA or Washington. I'd be shocked if it's any other. But I think I'm part of that 19% that goes 11-1. You know, in a Pac-12 berth, first one, you know, for the conference. And I mean, really, that could give us a really good bowl game, you know, which is really exciting. So let's break it down here. We'll go through the schedule. Patrick and I will give our check if that's a win or a loss, and we'll see what we end up with at the end here. So for game one against SUU, you know, Patrick, I'm assuming that's a win for you.
Yeah, that's definitely a win.
Okay. If we go against team down south, you know, second game of the year, Kalani Sitake coming in, former Ute coach and Oregon State coach for a year. I don't think it's enough time for him to turn that program around. I think we win. By how much, I'm not sure. We're going to have to delve into that next week. But, you know, I think for me, it's a win. It's going to be a tough one, though, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a win. I think it's going to be a lot closer game than a lot of people expect, just because, you know, most of the time these rivalry games are close and hard fought. So I do think the Utes are going to get a win. I just am not sure how much they're going to win by.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a tough one. We'll dive into that one next week, next week's episode. So, San Jose State. We play San Jose State on September 17th, right after the BYU game. That's an 8:30 kickoff a week after a rivalry game. What do you think there?
That's a W.
That's a W? Automatic W.
Yeah.
All right. Patrick's got it in the books. Automatic W. USC, a week later, at home. Again, I think this is another tough game, another bloodbath for us. You know, I think we win, similar to how we did 2 years ago. You know, final 8 seconds of the game, past the, obviously we don't have Kalen Clay on our team anymore, but past the Kalen Clay for a touchdown. I think it's going to come down to a big ending play, whether it's defensive or offensive. I think it's going to come down to an ending play like that. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, that's a toss-up game for me, but if I do have to pick at Rice-Eccles, I think the Utes are going to squeak out a victory there. But what I'm excited to see is Hatfield versus Juju Schuster-Smith.
Yes.
I know they kind of went at each other last season, so I'm excited to see if Hatfield steps up and gets them this season.
Definitely. So let's move along here. We've got Cal. At Cal, after a hard-fought game. I don't know if you watched the Cal-Hawaii game in Australia, but yeah. Cal put up a lot of points, but they did not look good doing it.
Yeah, they didn't look good, definitely. I don't know if it was the travel or whatnot, but they definitely didn't look that great against Hawaii.
What's your take on that one? I'm going with a win. I think, you know, Cal has got a lot of pieces that they lost, specifically, you know, their top quarterback, Jared Goff, which Utah really, really handled last year for the most part. So for me, I don't think they turn it around that quickly into the season. I'm going with a win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the win as well. I know it was the first game, but I wasn't really impressed with Cal. And, you know, they lost Goff, who was probably one of the best quarterbacks in the country last season, but he did not play well against that Ute defense, and I expect the defense to wreak havoc on their new quarterback as well.
Yeah, definitely. Arizona, I mean, Rich Rod has always been a thorn in our side, it seems like. You know, it's always been, you know, we look back at the season, oh, that Arizona game, we should have won. And, you know, had we won, we would have gone to the Pac-12 championship game. So I think for us this year, Arizona at home, I think we drop the hammer on them. I think, you know, that gives us, you know, that's five games into the season. I think we've got a lot of experience going into that game that, you know, our guys are going to come out and really dominate. And I think we get the win there.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the win as well. I think this is the year that they get Arizona. I know last year was a heartbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this year is the year that, you know, I think Witt's going to treat Arizona this year like he did Oregon last year and really whip them up pretty good.
Well, the next game is Oregon State. At Oregon State, if you all remember 2 years ago, up in Oregon, in Corvallis, we went to a triple overtime. And Devontae Booker ended up carrying us pretty much the entire game. What is your take on that one? I mean, for me, Oregon State, you know, I mean, we handled them pretty easily last year at home. I think that, you know, they've lost a few key pieces last year, you know, both on offense and defense. I you know, for me, it's a win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the win as well. I don't think they're going to be any better this year than they were last year. So I don't really expect too big of a challenge for the Utes in that game.
All righty. Big one here. This is a toss-up for you and I. UCLA at UCLA, October 22nd. That is going to be a big game in the Rose Bowl. It very well could come down, you know, depending on what happens for us at the USC game and what happens for UCLA in their games. I mean, it could be a top, you know, like you said, 1-2 for the Pac-12 South for sure. And, you know, who knows, by that time, you know, both teams could be top 10. UCLA is coming off a game at Washington State the previous week. So they've got to do a little travel, whereas we are coming off the road game at Oregon State. So, you know, we're both coming off road games. We're going to their place in sunny California. You know, I mean, Josh Rosen, sophomore, you know, he could have a big game. At the same time, our defense, as long as it stays healthy, I think is going to really, really cause him a lot of havoc. You know, I think it's a loss just because it's on the road. You know, I think it's a heartbreaking loss. It could be an overtime, you know, or a final play of the game loss. What are your thoughts?
Well, just going with my predictions, I had it down as a loss. So I'm going to keep it as a loss. I hope I'm wrong, but it's definitely a game. You know, I'll kind of revisit that as the season goes on. But right now I have that as one of my two losses.
Moving right along here, Washington, another big one. And I think for me, and this is kind of where I get my 11-1 optimistic prediction here, I think we win this one because my loss was UCLA. Kind of same reasoning. I think it's going to be a hard-fought battle. You know, Washington's got a great QB in Browning. Troy Williams played for Washington prior to going to community college last year. I think he's going to want to show Washington what they missed out on. You know, he's going to want to stick it to Coach Chris Peterson, and you know, he's going to really want to come out and make a name for himself for sure. I think it's a win. I think it's a tough one. We're at home. I think the home crowd gets behind us. I think we win it.
Okay. That's another game. I got to stick with my prediction. I had that as a loss. I just had the Utes getting the, you know, two back-to-back losses.
Two back-to-back losses.
It's kind of a tough stretch, but I know a lot of people are up on Washington. I'm interested to see if they really are on the uprise or if that people are just talking.
They've got a great defense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, outside of their defense and Browning, I mean, their offense is okay. Maybe it's the, you know, Ute fan in me that really thinks that we have the better offense and the better defense. You know, maybe that's being a little bit biased, but I feel like over the years, Utah has been more consistent defensively.
Yeah.
You know, Washington has kind of been, you know, this year great, this year bad, you know, this year okay. You know, I think it's a win. I'm going to have to disagree.
Yeah, well, I
don't like the two back-to-back losses, especially being at home.
Yeah, well, I definitely, I mean, we can revisit this and as the season goes and we see how Utah's offense progresses. But
this is set in stone, everybody, okay? Patrick cannot change his mind.
Yeah, but I have it as a loss, but we'll definitely see. I do think Utah has the better defense, but, you know, it's the offense that's a question mark going against, you know, I mean, kind of a similar situation there, you know, Utah and Washington question mark offenses going against, you know, great defenses. So
definitely. Yep. Next game would be Arizona State. That would be after a bye week. So that would be November 10th, Arizona State in Tempe, Arizona. Arizona State. That same week, they actually have a bye week as well. So that gives both teams, you know, one, you know, extra week to practice for each other. Arizona State is coming off of a game at Oregon. Then they've got their bye week, and then they're home against Utah. We, obviously, Utah would be coming off the game at home against Washington, bye week, and then at Arizona State. Wow, if I can talk. I think it's a win. I think we beat both Arizona schools this year. You know, I think it's a win.
Yeah, I think it's a win as well. I mean, coming off a bye week, nobody's better than Whittingham off a bye week. But I definitely think it's a win. Arizona State, I can't, for some reason, they're kind of like BYU. I just can't stand that school or their fans. So I can never pick them to win. I always want the Utes to win that game. So I'll definitely go with the W there.
That works. Next one. This one is one that I've got circled on my calendar. Oregon. Home against Oregon. We get the Ducks again. So 3 years in a row of the Ducks. We played them at home in 2014. We lost that one. We absolutely crushed them on the road. Really humiliated them, to be honest. I mean, I was shocked. And now we've got them back home for 2016. They are coming off kind of a gauntlet of games. They had Arizona State at home, at USC, home against Stanford, and then at Utah. I mean, the USC and Stanford games,
it's tough.
That's going to be a tough three-game stretch for them, yeah, to be honest. So, I mean, that'll be an interesting one. I don't think we put up quite as many points as we did last year, but I think we beat Oregon.
Yeah, I agree. That's a tough stretch there for Oregon coming off those, you know, USC and I think you said Stanford, right?
Yep.
Definitely a tough stretch. Then you have to come into Rice-Eccles. You know, obviously they're going to be looking for revenge because they got embarrassed last season, but yeah. I don't think the Utes are going to give in. I think the Utes are going to, take it to him again. I don't think, you know, it'll be as high scoring for him, but I think that they'll definitely come out with a W.
Yeah. And then the final game, our rival, Colorado, the Buffs. That game is in Boulder. I think it's a W. I don't know if there's a whole lot to say there. It's a win. I think it's a win.
Yeah, it always seems like that's such a weird game.
Yeah.
For the Utes, they always like come out to, and play, so they don't, you know, seem like they play to their potential. They kind of play down to Colorado's potential a lot over the last few seasons. But you know, they always do get that W, and I think, you know, it's going to be the same this season. I don't see them losing that game either.
I feel like that's a typical Utah sports team. Play down to your competition. Yeah. I think it must be written in the contracts or something. that's our predictions. Andy, I'm going 11-1 with my lone loss against UCLA on the road. Patrick, 10-2 with back-to-back losses on the road against UCLA and then back at home against Washington. Interesting takes for sure. What else do you have to add for us, Patrick?
I'm just excited for the season to start and, you know, see what this team's all about and, you know, see if we have an offense this season that, you know, passing game, and very excited to see the defense and see what a Scally-led defense is going to look like. I think it's going to be aggressive and intense, and it's going to be exciting.
I agree. I'm excited to see. I can't wait. Like you said at the beginning of the show, it's like Christmas all over again. You know, the night you can't sleep, you wake up without an alarm clock, you're excited. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very pumped and excited. Well, thank you everybody for listening to Ute Talk, from our audio engineer, Marty, Patrick, and myself. We will see you next time. And as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalkPodcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.